Good evening. Good to be with you. Sounds like you had a great day today. And some of my girls were over here, but the twins went with me to Raleigh. We were over there last couple Sunday mornings, but it's been good to be able to be with you for the last two evenings of Sunday weekends. So we're going to continue as we've been doing, and we're going to stay in the book of Mark. We would turn to Mark chapter 4. Sounds like you had an encouraging day in a lot of ways, so thankful to hear that. As we've been looking at the book of Mark, we've been thinking about the humble servant. Thinking about, as in each of the four Gospels, you have a different emphasis upon the Lord Jesus. And that in and of itself is a study. Looking at how in Matthew you have the coming king in the Lord Jesus. Mark, the humble servant. Luke, the perfect man. And in John, you see his deity, the eternal Son of God. But when we've been here with you, we've been looking at a verse-by-verse study of the book of Mark, and we'd like to continue that. And so when we think of the humble servant in this book of Mark, the first 10 chapters, on up to chapter 10, you see the Galilean ministry is the area of ministry we find the Lord involved with. And we find in this book of Mark so many times his actions, that which he's doing in serving, in helping others, in healing the sick, and yet with the message within that of the good news of the gospel. So when we find in chapter 10, for example, the hallmark verse that reminds us of this thing, that the Lord Jesus, the Son of Man, came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. So as he is that humble servant, he went all the way to the death, even the death of the cross. We find a few what you might call teaching sections in the book of Matthew. We just, last Sunday evening, you may recall, we did look at one of those. At the beginning of chapter 4, we see the section on parables. Again, Mark doesn't speak with parables often. There was a short bit in chapter 2 and a few spread out in the book. But particularly here in chapter 4, we see an emphasis on parables. And yet now we're moving back into his shoe leather ministry, back among the people, as it were, and we see his actions among them. We see a little bit of a bit of a sub theme that's come along in recent chapters too, and we'll see Satan and some of his actions in the background, you might say. We'll notice that when we get into chapter 5 a little bit. So we'd like to look at the end of chapter 4 and the beginning of chapter 5. If you would, in chapter 4, let's look at verse beginning at 35. And the same day, when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And so we find the Lord here coming across the sea, and we find the storm on the sea, of course, and yet we see the disciples' hearts, in a sense. We find fear and desperation. We find these different attitudes brought before us, or attributes, we should say, concerning the Lord, the one who's always near, the one who shows in this story the calmness, peace, rest. So we that know the Lord Jesus, that's something that we hold so near to, is knowing of that peace and rest that we have in and through him, the one who's always near, In contrast, there's the turmoil, there's the desperation, and there's the fear. You know, when we talk to people out in the community sometimes, or people in our families or what have you, and you know, you can sometimes sense that sense of fear or desperation in talking to people. They don't have the hope, they don't see the sense of what's beyond this life. It's what's here and now, and sometimes that doesn't look too pleasant. But when you know the Lord Jesus, you can see beyond the moment and have that rest and that peace. Turn, if you would, to Psalm, just for one reference, in Psalm 107. Find this interesting. The one who spoke the worlds into existence calms the troubled sea. In Psalm 107, you would notice there in verse 28:9, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Are they glad because they be quiet? So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. So just the psalmist brings before us in this little part about the sea, you could back up to verse 23 on down, a reminder of the calmness in the storm. So let's go back to our passage. When do we, in our own lives, when do we have a sense of urgency? That's something to consider, isn't it? When is there a real sense of urgency? For example, the need to pray. When do we really have that sense of urgency in our lives? A lot of times it boils down to certain things going on. You know, when there's times of difficulty in our lives, or maybe there's an issue of sin going on, or, you know, when we see the need of salvation, perhaps a loved one. You know, we're praying fervently. We see perhaps a loved one we've been concerned with, and now they're maybe in dire straits at the end of their life, and we're still concerned for their soul. Now, these are the kind of things that come to mind. When do we have a sense of urgency? So when a distress comes upon the disciples, there is a sense of urgency. Wake up the Lord, asleep on the pillow, the one who is calm in the midst of the storm. You know, when we come together on Wednesday night and we have that emphasis on prayer, you know, that's what we need, is to have a reminder of the urgency and the need for prayer. Not just when we're in the midst of a struggle, but, you know, in a sense, there's always a need. There's always people around us that are lost that we need to pray for. And there's always the failures in our own lives. We, as believers, still deal with sin, with the sin nature. So in a sense, we should always have that urgency for prayer, communicating with the One on High. So we find in this somewhat familiar passage the calmness on one end, the urgency on the other. The fear was exceeding. You know, at least they went to the right one. They went to the one who could calm the troubled sea, the very creator of all. That's amazing to think of the creator of all there in that ship. Let's move on to chapter 5 and see how the passage continues on. You know, one of the things we've been noticing is the movements in the book of Mark. So often it's identified to us as the Lord moves around. Often it would speak of him by the seaside or going across the sea or in a synagogue or in a house. So we see that in the section ahead of us. Notice in the first 20 verses, we find the legion and the swine. We're not going to try to carry on with the whole chapter this evening. But going on past that, we see Jairus' his sick daughter and the touching of the hem of the garment, and then the question at hand about the healing of that daughter. But let's notice the first part of the chapter, if we could, please. Beginning at verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. When he was come up out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. And he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send him away out of the country. Now there were there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country. They went out to see what it was that was done.